1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8 from the Amplified. God kind of love endures with patience and serenity. God kind of love is kind and thoughtful. God kind of love is not jealous or envious. God kind of love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. God kind of love is not rude. God kind of love is not self-seeking. Love is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. Love does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, and endures all things without weakening.
And I'm following in the tradition of Adam. Isn't that what he said? That's all right. The Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So, God's original plan for you and I was not that we would have to go and find healing scriptures and pray and ask God, please help us, please heal us, please do something for us. But his original plan is found in Exodus chapter 23, I believe it's 23, and verse 25. Chapter 23 and verse 25, which says, "You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land, and I will fulfill the number of your days." And he said to me that this is the plan that I had. My people wouldn't get sick. They wouldn't get sick. I would just simply take sickness away from them because they would be in such close harmony with me that there wouldn't be any open doors. But we know that's not the way things worked out. And fortunately, God in his mercy and in his grace made opportunity for us to come to him in our time of need. I want to look at some of the things in Scripture that show us the heart of God and how he desires for you and I to come to the place where instead of asking him, please heal me, we just don't get sick. We don't get sick. Because the love of God working in us effectively will keep us from sickness and disease. And that was a new thought for me because I had never seen it from that perspective before. I always thought of the love of God forgiving sins and allowing us to come to Jesus and so forth. But I had never seen it from the perspective that the love of God is my protection. It protects me from all the things we're going to see today. And that God's intention was that as the word that was read by faith here, in 1 Corinthians 13, this word is an expression of the heart of God, but it also shows us that if we will embrace this love of God, if we'll embrace this, if we will allow this love to do the work in us that God wants it to do, that it will protect us. It'll be a shield about us, and it will protect us from sickness and disease, from mental illness, from all kinds of things that the enemy uses to destroy our soul. That's what he wants. And Christina's, I got this from her yesterday, and it cortisol, it's a stress hormone. It kicks in during stress times to help us with the fight or flight mechanism. However, too much constant stress produces excess cortisol, which damages tissues and can lead to multiple health issues. And I did my own research and found that many health problems are linked to our emotions. And some of the short and long-term health problems that have been linked to unmanaged anger, just anger, include depression, headaches, and I don't mean a little headache, I mean the biggie, heart attacks, insomnia, digestive problems, like abdominal pain, high blood pressure, skin problems, like eczema. Those diseases, those sicknesses come on us when our emotions are not in line with the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that if you get angry, you're immediately going to have a heart attack. I'm not talking about these. I'm talking about lifestyle. That sometimes people have a lifestyle of certain behaviors. But the Bible speaks to us pretty clearly on things. I mean, it talks about, in Proverbs 14:30, that envy rots the bones. Envy rots the bones. Well, the Bible is very clear that love's not envious. Love is not envious. So if we embrace the God kind of love that is not jealous or envious, that door never opens on us. But here's what happens to us. Oh, that's not too good. Thank you, Esther. Here's what happens to us when we start to allow our feelings and our thoughts to govern and, in fact, determine what happens to us. I thought it would be helpful to have a visual of this, helping us to recognize the kind of damage that can happen as a result of not letting the love of God work in us. Not letting the love of God work in us. God's love inside of us will cause these strategies that often are set up by the enemy. You and I get set up. The devil sets us up. He knows the weak areas in our lives, and he attacks those areas. Anger is a common ailment in this world. In fact, in the last number of years, anger has gone over the moon. You see, there's road rage, this rage, there's all kinds of different rages that really didn't exist 20 years ago. People are more anxious, they're more upset, they get angered more easily, and that emotion of anger has an impact on our health. It impacts our health, absolutely. And it can cause any number of things. It can cause high blood pressure, headaches, heart attacks, and as well as a variety of other things, you know. You can't see the last box. Oh, well. We have to see it here. There we go. How's that? Yeah. I wanted us to look at what the love of God wants to protect us from. It wants to protect us from these kind of serious ailments on us. That the unforgiveness is a major problem in the world. Even in the body of Christ. It is a major, major, major problem. And every time an incident happens, and we decide, well, how many have been treated unfairly at some point in your life here? Anyone who has not been treated unfairly? We've all been treated unfairly. How we respond to that situation influences our health. If you feel that you have been treated unfairly, what do we typically do about that? What do when we've been treated unfairly? We think of revenge.
We rehearse.
What do we rehearse?
What we're
going to
do to them.
What else do we rehearse? So I say that again?
Telling other people.
We meditate on this, on the injustice that was done to us.
Put up walls and shut down.
Oh, walls. We put up walls. You know what these are?
Walls.
These are walls. As I allow these emotions to begin to develop within me, I get the associated gifts that come with them. When you have been unjustly treated, how is your sleep affected? Is it affected? When you think about, boy, someone got a promotion that really should have come to you. It should have come to you. It was your promotion. Your promotion. Do you know what that's called? An unfulfilled expectation. You expected the promotion. You may even have been sort of promised it. But you didn't get it. Someone else did. Someone much less qualified, of course, who should never have gotten that ahead of you. But maybe they were a brown noser. There are those kind of people in the world.
Eat out that road.
Whatever reason, they got there ahead of you. And this unfulfilled expectation, what does it do to your heart? What does it do?
Causes anxiety, depression.
Yeah, it can. First, there's anger, then there's anxiety. These are kind of interchangeable. You understand, you know? But an unfulfilled expectation, it causes disharmony inside. We're not at peace anymore. We're not at peace. Our stress levels go up. We become angry. We think, you know, I deserve that. It was my promotion. I worked for it. Why didn't I get it? My heart can become bitter. You know what that does to me? It poisons me. Acts 8:23. You are poisoned by bitterness. But God's love is never bitter.
Amen.
So the love of God is there to protect me from this. Protect me. So that this unfulfilled... Do you think Jesus had unfulfilled expectations?
Yes.
What do they call them? The Dirty Dozen? What was that movie? Yeah, The Dirty Dozen, right? Yeah. Oh. I mean, I'm sure that he had great moments with them, but I'm equally sure that there were a number of moments that caused him much anguish, because their focus was on themselves. I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. No, I'm sitting in the right hand. No, no, go get mummy. I'm going to sit in the right hand. These guys were very normal. There's nothing supernatural about these people, believe me. These were very ordinary people. And so we have this, and it begins to fill. And while we don't deal with it, what is it doing? It's sitting there. Isn't it? It's sitting there. It hasn't gone away. It's not forgotten and lost. It's sitting there. What's it doing sitting there? It's festering. It's festering. It's angry. And that can lead to unforgiveness. Has anyone ever experienced unforgiveness? What does it do to us? Don't we get lots of opportunities for this? I mean, is there anyone who hasn't had at least 10 opportunities since Christmas? I could have said since last week, but we'll say Christmas. We have many, 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 in fact, daily we can get these opportunities where we feel that, you know, someone unjustly treats us, or treats us unjustly. Someone takes something that we think belongs to us. Someone says something about you. You are the dumbest shoes that I've ever seen in my life. I can say that because I've been. So. You understand? You know what I mean? So, but if he believes that, there can be unforgiveness. I took your parking spot. Work with me here. I took your parking spot. Well, I took the apartment you wanted. I got there first, found out about it because you told me. And I went and took it and got there first. We have many, many, many opportunities for unforgiveness. And it creates all kinds of problems, you know. I mean, it can cause ulcers. It can cause all kinds of sicknesses. Unforgiveness just sits there and it boils, ferments. But the Bible says here that God's kind of love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. How do we do that? How do we come to the place where we don't take into account a wrong suffered? How can we do that? How can we do that? I mean, isn't it right to be angry and perturbed when someone does you an injustice? Isn't that the way of the world? You sue them, get back at them, you do something. Because, see, God knows that things like unforgiveness, bitterness, unfulfilled expectations, they destroy our soul and they poison our minds. We start to see the world through a filter of bitterness. We become suspicious of everybody. It drains our energy. Do you know what it takes energy to hate somebody, to dislike somebody? It takes energy. And if you stay with it long enough, it'll lead to depression. God's plan for you and I is that we would be free of these harmful and toxic emotions. The devil's plan is that we would be filled with them. Filled with them. How do we do it? How do we do it? How can we get to the place where we are not bound by our emotions? Not bound by. See, Romans 5:5 says God's put his love in our hearts. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. See, if the love of... You cannot have a sound mind if it's filled with anxiety. You can't. If your mind is filled with unfulfilled expectations, if your mind is filled with harmful things that are destructive, absolutely destructive. Got to find the right box here. Ah, here we go. Boy, you just listened to the news for 10 minutes today. What does that do? You know? 10 minutes. I've got to turn a little bit here. Right? There we go. The cares of this world. Little globe here. Cares of this world. All the things that are going on around us. How can you not be filled with anxiety? Oh, I never played basketball, so. Oh, good. Got it in. All the cares, all the cares, all the concerns. You reach out in kindness to someone, wanting to bless them. And they tell you to buzz off. How do you feel? Rejected. Anyone ever felt rejected? Anyone in here never felt rejected? We can deal with that right now. We all have. We've all had to deal with things that are harmful and potentially destructive in us. This is the way of life here. In this world, you will have... That's a promise from Jesus. You don't even have to claim it. Now here's a real biggie. Come on there. Sit properly. There we go. Unanswered prayers. Who hasn't been impacted by that? Unanswered prayers. What do you do with that? You know? Well, we often become negative. We say to people, God doesn't answer prayer. I mean, if he's feeling okay today, he might, but it's not common. You start to see life through a cynical lens. And if it's been really important, then we can even become angry at God. He failed in his job. What's happening here in front of me? The wall's getting bigger. You see the walls getting bigger? And I'm crying out to God. But what's happened is that all these things are getting in the way. They're getting in the way. Don't think for a moment they're not. They are getting in the way. Your emotions create all of these things, or can create, I should say. They can. And we can become easily a person. Well, how do I know this to be true? Can you think of a scripture that will confirm everything that's right here? One scripture. One scripture. Confirm everything right here. I'll give you a hint. It's in Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7. I have it here somewhere, I know. Here you are. Young's literal translation says, "For as he has thought in his soul, so is he." What is your soul? As he has thought in his soul, so is he. The things that we meditate on, we are. So if we are meditating on the injustices, the unanswered prayers, the unfulfilled expectation, the cares of this world, if that's the stuff that I am meditating on and thinking about, what am I? A mess. How can faith work? How does faith work? By love. Galatians 5:6. Faith works by love. Can you see what love is up against here? It's up against a lot of stuff. These things dominate the world. They dominate the world. And for the most part, they dominate the Christian world as well. They dominate it because we allow these things to come in on us. Your thoughts, they form our character. I read this, that anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States, affecting 20% of the population, according to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. Isn't that amazing? And so we put that against one scripture, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. He's telling us the benefits here of the sound mind. You, that's God, will guard him, that's us, and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you. Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. See, God's love, operating properly within our hearts and our lives, protects us. Protects us. How does it protect us? How is it protecting us? We have, for example, the unfulfilled expectation that we didn't get the promotion. How does God's love protect us?
Accept it and keep on going.
Okay.
It causes us to be unselfish. Therefore, rejoicing what somebody else is able to receive and being able to trust God that our turn will come when it's his time.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
It keeps my focus on God.
Keeps your focus on God? Okay. What it's saying essentially is that when an expectation that we wanted to happen, we thought should happen, and became very upset because it did not happen, we have an opportunity, our choice, that we can become bitter, angry, resentful, or we can choose, and it is a choice, to say, I don't know why this happened, but I believe that God is working on my behalf. God is working on my behalf. And perhaps this was not the promotion I should have had, or the timing is wrong, but I will trust in God. I will put my trust in God. I will believe that God is working on my behalf and that he is doing what needs to be done for me. Now, if I enter into that, and I stay in that place, what happens to me? I avoid these emotions. I avoid them. Because he tells us to cast our cares upon him. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That God's blessing is on my life, and that because I trust in him, I'm not going to enter into the concerns and the emotions of this. Do you see how that puts a shield about you? It puts a shield about you. Now, is that easy to do? Of course not. If it was easy to do, everybody would do it. It's not easy to do. It's hard to do. You can't do it without relationship. See, that's why they call it disease. Dis-ease. Not at ease. There's no harmony in the soul and in the body. In fact, it's disharmony. And anxiety and fear comes in. And they begin to take control of our thought life. And then they begin to influence our mind, our attitudes, our behaviors, and eventually our bodies. Only God's grace. For example, let me give you a really good example of how stupid we could be. I think it's around 1 Samuel 18. Story of Saul and David. Saul is king. They've come back from the battle. And the people sing a song. They sing a song. Saul has slain his thousands, David has slain his 10,000s. That song destroyed Saul. Destroyed him. How do you know this? Well, it's right there in the Bible. It says, I'm trying to remember what it said exactly. Where do I have it in here? Yes, Saul says, he hears the song, it says, it greatly displeased him. It's 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 7 to 9. And Saul's response to this, now David hasn't said a word, you understand? David has not said a word, it's just the people have sang a song. But Saul has a thought attack. He has a thought attack. And in this thought attack he says, what more can he have but my kingdom? Do you see a little gap in logic here? But that's what we do. That's what we do. Now, if Saul had said, listen, God made me king. I trust in God. God bless David. He's getting a moment of recognition. God bless him. He might have stayed king. Maybe. He had a lot of problems. But we allow thoughts to come in that have no contact to reality. Now the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, I think, perfect love casts out fear. Casts out fear. It casts out fear. What kind of fear? The same fear I just talked about. If we embrace God's love, it will look at that circumstance and say, I'm not going to enter into this thought attack. I'm not going to let this thought attack destroy my life. Because what happened here is that Saul developed a personal grudge against David. I won't put it up there, I'm not. And in that personal grudge, he spent the rest of his kingdom time doing what? Trying to kill David, chasing him around. He spent his energy trying to destroy the person that he perceived to be a threat. And basically, it brought him to the place where God said, enough. 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 We need to have an attitude like Moses. In Numbers 11, I think it is. Who is it? Someone comes to Moses and says, Moses, these two guys are prophesying. Stop them. And what was his response? He said, hey, praise God. I wish everybody prophesied, not just me. What did he just do? He allowed the shield of God's love to protect him. No grudge, no anxiety, no hurt, no pain. God's love will protect us. It will protect us from hurtful and damaging emotions that the enemy wants to use to destroy us. Now, some of the ways that we open the door ourselves and cooperate with the enemy is through disobedience. We simply don't obey the word of God. Disobedience. And the reason often is because of our pride. Our pride doesn't want to humble us. It wants us to get what we rightly deserve. And if we meditate in these things long enough, and we work in them, and we can get to the place where it's pretty much done for us then. God failed me. I didn't get the ministry I should have had. I didn't get the this that I should have had. My talents and abilities were not recognized the way they should have been. God didn't come through. How can I relate in a loving relationship with a God where I'm thinking that? How can I do that? Now, we don't necessarily come out and say this. You know, we don't come out and say, you failed me! But in our heart, we just kind of step back from God. Because we wouldn't want to say to someone, God failed me. You know, God failed me? God failed me, because that would make us look petty. And we don't want to look that way, so we don't tell people, but we start to develop a resentment towards God and towards God's people and towards anyone who gets blessed. We do not rejoice, as the Bible says here. But not just that, but when someone else gets blessed, instead of saying, well, that's great, I'm really happy for you, we kind of go, what about me? You know? What about me? What about me? And the wall gets bigger and thicker. And we can't understand why God isn't doing more for us. Who here is honest enough to say that you've had times when you thought, why isn't God doing more?
Yes.
Anyone in here has never had that thought? Why isn't God doing more? You know what? That's the same thing as saying, God failed me. Only it's not quite as blunt. We are wondering, why has God failed me? Why am I not getting what I feel I rightly deserve? These thoughts, they don't go away. They sit. They sit in your gut. And they turn to poison. And they block the flow. They block the flow. I'm going to share a word, God, a prophecy that I got 4-6 years ago. And it was a prayer, I think, but 2011. With the spirit of unforgiveness comes a demon called dull mind. The function of this demon is to hinder divine insights, divine revelations, and to cause missed opportunities. It also diminishes sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Well, that's a high price to pay for unforgiveness, isn't it? You lose your sensitivity to God. You have a hard time seeing opportunities that God gives you. All because we won't release forgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean you have to become their best friend, but you can't harbor bitterness in your soul. See, love, the love of God, is not provoked and is not overly sensitive. This aspect of God's love, operating properly within us, keeps us from losing our peace and our joy because someone said or did something unkind to us. The love of God in this situation stops them from getting inside your head. Because what happens is, it gets in your head and it starts to take resonance there. And its sole purpose is to poison your thought life. Just poison it. Because then the wall grows. And trying to reach God, and we wonder, God, why aren't you answering our prayers more? Why don't I have the peace of God? Why am I struggling to get healing? Why am I struggling to have peace in my head? It's because this thought life here is poisoning you. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:24, Amplified, pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweet and delightful to the soul, and healing to the body. Now, you know what? God wants you and I to fill our thoughts, or our minds rather, with good thoughts. And that's where we have in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, believers, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure, wholesome, lovely, and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Why is he telling us this? Why is he telling us to do this? Doesn't this sound like a bit like a, what's the, Mary Poppins? You know, where you just think irrationally. Why is he telling us to do this? Doesn't God know the things we have to deal with?
Is he positive?
To protect us.
To protect us. He's looking to protect us. He's looking to keep us from developing this in our lives. It's amazing how many Christians have a solid wall like this in them, between themselves and God and themselves and other Christians. These are real things. There are cares in this world. You know, there are circumstances that are difficult and there are circumstances that are unfair. That's part of life. It's reality. Some people have been really abused. They've had a difficult life.
How often God uses someone who's been hurt in some way and then allow God to work in them for healing, and then we're able to be used by God for someone else in the same circumstance to bring healing to them.
Mm-hmm. Like, is there anyone in here who has not prayed, God, I want to know you better and I want to get closer to you? Anyone in here who has not prayed that at some point? Okay, listen carefully. God is on the other side of this box set saying to me, or to you, or to whoever it is, I want to be closer to you. I can't get through your boxes. You understand that?
Yeah.
He says, I want to be closer to you, but I can't get through this. I can't get through it. Now, there's scriptures for everything in here. You know, cast your cares upon him, get rid of all bitterness. You know, I mean, there's scripture to deal with all of this. But you're in charge. You're in charge. You're in charge. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision that says, I cast my cares on you, Lord. I cast them on you. I trust in you, Jesus. Now, I know about this. Okay? I had a spirit of anger years ago. A real spirit of anger. Okay. Is this true?
It is true.
It is true. I once took a door, brought it to my elbow, and shattered it. Just because I was annoyed at something. I don't remember what it was anymore. But it took a year for me to get completely free of it. Never had it again. It takes your humility to say to God, I need help. I need help. See, too often our pride will not allow us to say to God, I need help. I need help. I need God's help. I need God to work in me. I need his word to deliver me from these things. But my mind works and it works in cooperation, because if I don't cooperate with the word of God, if you say, you know what, God, if you want me to be free of anger, go ahead and do it. Wake me up when it's done. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. God will do what you do. God will do what you do. If you stop speaking the word, he stops working in you. The good news is that it works. The word of God works. It works. That you can get rid of all this crap and you can sustain the spirit of peace in you by staying in intimate relationship with God on a daily basis and allowing the Holy Spirit. Where is it in Psalm 51? David said, where is it? Somewhere he says, search my heart, see if there
are truth in me.
Yeah. But see, the Holy Spirit will identify things in us. You resent so and so. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. No, Lord. No, you're wrong. I don't. Okay. And he moves on. And that resentment stays in our heart. Or we say something equally stupid like, yeah, but you don't know what they did, God. I mean, can you imagine telling God he doesn't know what they did? You want to get rid of anxiety? You don't want to have a stroke? It's a matter of bringing these things, bringing them to God. Let the Holy Spirit go through it. It's a lifelong process. A lifelong. You know, lifelong process. We've all had unanswered prayers. All of us. I don't think there's anybody in this room who hasn't had unanswered prayers. Maybe some more than others, but the reality is the only person who knows for sure why your prayer wasn't answered is God. And sometimes, not every time, but sometimes it's our own fault. We have a mindset that blocks that. But only God can reveal that.
In a relationship, say, between you and me, you don't give me something that I want, that I think I should get from you. It makes my love conditional on what you're giving me. Right?
I know, but I've accepted that, so.
You know what I mean? It's like we're putting God on trial.
Yeah.
It's very hard to go through an unanswered prayer. It's better to resolve it in the love of God, like you're saying, and move on to God than the opposite.
Most of the time, when I have not had a prayer answered, if I'm willing to sit and wait, God tells me why. Most of the time. And every time it's been my fault. Or Christine's. This is a biggie. This is a biggie. Someone, you know, some people are carrying things that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago. They carry, you know, and someone, you know, someone could have done something really nasty, mean, and brutal to you. But unforgiveness will destroy your soul. It'll destroy it. It'll just simply destroy it. So you don't forgive them for their sakes. They probably don't care. They've moved on. Doing it strictly for yourself. Strictly for yourself. Same with the rest of this thing. Personal grudges. Think of how much God's forgiven you. How many grudges. Disobedience, well, that's easily corrected. God, I'm sorry and I'll do it right. And pride, well, that never... Isn't it interesting how the middle letter there, Pride is something we'll deal with all our lives. All our lives. The good news is that God so loves us that He'll work with us no matter what. No matter what. But if you really want to get close to God, if you want to stay healthy, if you want to have the mind of Christ, you have got to surrender your life and embrace the love of God. Embrace it. Now, you don't have to do it all at once, but you have to do it. God's love will heal you. God's love will protect you. If you can hardly notice a suffered wrong, guess what? It doesn't go in the box. It doesn't go in the box. Isn't that a good thing? It doesn't go in the box. But you have to have a predetermined mindset. Do you know what I mean by that? God, for example, is predisposed to forgive you.
Yes, right.
Predisposed. He doesn't have to go and think, you know, should we forgive him this time, Holy Spirit, or not? What do you think? You know, I mean, it just, I don't know. Do I feel forgiving today? He's already in that position. Mm-hmm. How do we get in that position? What can we do to help us get in that position?
By reading the Word.
Okay. You soak in the Word, but it's more than just soaking in the Word. There are people who know a lot about the Bible. They know a lot about Greek and everything else. And they have hearts this big, you know? We need to pray and say to God, help me to be loving like you are. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to have a forgiving nature. I want the love of God in my heart, soaking my heart so that I am predisposed to forgive others, to love others, to be gracious to others. That's a lifestyle. An absolute lifestyle of having the heart of God. Now again, I'm not telling you have to become everybody's best friend. There are some people that just, they're not good around you. I understand that. But you can't harbor any ill will in your heart towards them. You can't desire to see any kind of vengeance released upon them. And if you want to talk to God and you want to grow in God and you want faith to work in you, it has to be wide open. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. See, you can study the Word of God and claim a scripture after scripture, but if you harbor animosity and bitterness and resentment in your heart, your faith won't work. It just simply will not work. Not properly, anyway. In order for our faith to work, it works by love. And it's not that hard to get it right. You know, I've been in situations where I had to pray for something and had a bad attitude prior to. And God, I knew my faith wouldn't work. I knew it. I mean, didn't even have to think about it. I knew it wouldn't work. But it didn't take 3 hours to get it right. I repented. Said to God, I'm wrong, sorry. Meaningfully, though. You understand, it wasn't one of those. Whoever saw the show Newhart, anyone here ever seen that show? No? It was comedy, it was really good. Well, they had a maid who had a habit of, when she did something that was mean, rude, and unkind, huh? And she would go, tell me, tell me, tell me. And it was meaningless, completely meaningless. When we tell God we're sorry, it's got to be real.
Yeah.
Genuine. Sincere. Our faith in God will grow best in an atmosphere of love. God's love will protect me. It will protect me from sickness, from disease, from mental illness. You know, a lot of mental illness is just simply people have something happened to them, traumatic, and they have meditated on it until it has become their universe. Now, please, one last thought is that not every disease is because of bad attitude, okay? Not every mental illness is because of a bad attitude either. We can be sick because of some other reason that is germs, you know, there's things like... Yeah. So what I'm talking about today is how do we get rid of the ones we can get rid of? How can we do that? How can we be free of the things that we can be free of? Amen?
Amen.
Questions? Any questions on this? Was it helpful? Is having a visual to see that sometimes seeing it is helpful? All right, Lord, I just thank you for the goodness and the graciousness that you show us so often. We're thankful, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to become the people you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts to you, to trust you, and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us to bring change so that we can become the people you've called us to be. Amen.